Praise the Lord. I want us all to remember this morning that God made every one of you, none excluded. We keep singing that song, Jesus loves me. And he really does. And we've heard a lot about that this morning. And I feel a deep gratitude for him this morning that we're able to be here gathered in this way. Why don't we all who are able just kneel for prayer this morning? Lord, Heavenly Father, we bow before you here, knowing that you are God. And we thank you for that, that we can cast all our cares upon you. Lord, we know that you care. As we sang the song that if we were all writers and we would be using the water in the sea and writing on the sky, we couldn't write enough about your love. Father, would you help us to understand you more deeply, and as we've heard already this morning, to obey and do your will. Father, would you help us to grow in your love and grace, and we ask that you would continue to have grace with us and show us your love as Titus shows how grace that has appeared unto all men to bring salvation to us. Father, would you show us and help us? We ask that you would lead, guide my lips, that we can speak of your love, and that you can be exalted and glorified, and help us all today. Father, we also pray for the ones that are not able to be here. Father, would you be with the Loniger family and bless them, that their bodies could be healed, and they would be able to be here with us again. Also just lift Dwayne and Lois to you and pray that you would be with them. Father, we thank you for all your provisions that you have provided so far. And we praise you for everything. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In pondering what to share with you all this morning, I've remembering that this is the last day of 2023, should we preach on endings or beginnings, or what should we preach? But as I read the Word of God, and as I observe and know and understand more, there's so much here. God has so much for us every day. And I desire to just go through Genesis and Exodus and hit some of the points, especially with thinking of communion tonight. The things that point to what God had for his people and the blessing that followed with the people that were obedient and surrendered. And just hit some of those key people that God used. And it was only because they were willing to obey. They were willing to give God and to observe, as Reuben shared with the children, to observe what God would want them to do and be. So with that, if we think a quick overlook of Genesis and Exodus, how God in the beginning, he created. God was already in the first verse in the Bible. There's life, and he had a plan. He didn't just say the earth should be. But as I studied this and prepared for sharing this morning, it's just more clear again that God is a God of order. God is a God that loves when people obey his order, when people follow what he instructs. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And God made all these things. I'm not going to take time to read all that. But God made all these things, and then he created man. He created Adam. And for him, he created a wife. And therefore, we have the first family. And God, we see how God loved and wanted them to labor, serve, take care of the garden that he has blessed. And we could also see, but Satan was involved too. He wanted to stumble the thing that God had so beautiful planned and so such a purpose for. He wanted, God had perfectly created, perfectly made. But the devil wants to stumble. Still today, he wants to stumble us. He wants to keep us distracted from God. Not able to see what God wants for us. And soon after, I don't have all the timelines and everything, but soon after, we see the rebellion of one nation. They became of one language. And God destroyed. God judged. I find it interesting how Noah, God remembered. And God always. Another beautiful thing that stood out to me. God always, when people rebelled and fell, God always had a plan if people turned to him. He always was there to willingly guide if people said, what shall we do? And I trust Noah was one of those men that was willing to look, willing to say, here am I. What shall I do? What do you want? In Genesis 5, verse 28, and Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son, and he called his name Noah, saying, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. So the Lord cursed the ground because of what they were doing. And if we jump down to chapter 6, verse 8, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. So God was looking, and I want us to remember that God is still looking, and he wants, and we desire to find grace in the eyes of our God. And Noah was able to be preserved into the second life, to be safe from the destruction of what God brought there in Genesis 11. And the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And it came to pass, as they journeyed from the east, that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. So now the whole earth was of one language, and they wanted to keep it this way. Let's all keep it this way. And let's build us a tower and make a name. Rebellion. Do what I want to do. Have a big plan for myself. And God destroyed it. Or stopped it so that they couldn't continue. In Genesis 12, we find Abraham. And from Abraham, his son Isaac. And we could go through all that. This morning I won't. In Genesis 30, we find the story beginning of Joseph. Genesis 30, verse 22, and God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb, and she conceived and bare a son and said, God has taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. And if we turn over to Genesis 37, there we could go through the life of Joseph, but and see how faithful Joseph was in choosing. And it just stood out to me again how Joseph was a man. We could say he saved his people and his generation, but how did he do that? He was willing to say no to the things that were destruction, that were sin, that were evil. He said no, and he was willing to say yes to God, and God blessed it. And if we would, as brothers and sisters, realize that God has that same purpose for every one of us, to preserve his seed, to shine for him. Because Joseph was only one man. He could only do what, he could only be faithful with what he had to serve, the time he had. And so can we. And the beauty of how God always had, he was always there when people were willing to look for him. In the end of Genesis, we find the end of Joseph's life. I'd like to read here in chapter 50, starting in verse 14. And Joseph returned. This was right after they buried their father. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, all that went up with him to bury his father, after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us, and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. And they sent the messenger unto Joseph. They dared not go to him in person because they were afraid. So they sent a messenger saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive. So they reminded him, please forgive us, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sins, for they did unto thee evil, and now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept. Why did he weep? I forgave you, and now you're doubting me. Isn't that how it works today? If we truly forgive our brother, and you come and say, hey, and you remind me again of that, that saddens us. Because if we released, it's free. They didn't trust Joseph, and he wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? God will judge. I gave it over to him. We can see his faithfulness in giving God everything. But as for you, ye thought it evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. He saved his nation there. Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And then in the next couple of verses there, it shares how he passed on. So if we turn over to Exodus, we find in chapter 1, verse 8, verses later, after Joseph died, How many things happened? How much time was in between here? I didn't look it up. But 8 verses later, it says, now there arose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. And he started plaguing the children of Israel. But they multiplied. In verse 10, come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up and out of the land. Then they brought taskmasters in. But in verse 12 it says, but the more they afflicted them, the more they multiplied. God was with them. God had a plan for these people. And he was with them. And they grew and they were grieved because of the children of Israel. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. But let's remember that God was always there with them. In chapter 2 of Exodus, we find, and there went a man of the house of Levi and took of wife a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and bare a son. And when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Moses. And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch. So here God was bringing a child that he had a plan for. And he was faithful. And Moses chose. To rather suffer affliction with the children of God. Than to have all the pleasures he chose. It was his choice. Exodus 35. So from Exodus 2 to 35, it gives a lot of what Moses went through and how he, a big part of Moses' story. And in 35, verse 4, and Moses spake unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, this is the thing which the Lord commanded, saying, take ye from among you an offering unto the Lord. Here is where it gives how God instructed them to give willingly, all the willing-hearted, because he wanted a place to dwell among them. So from 35 to the end, to 40, he instructs them on how to build the tabernacle. And they did. They built a place for God. And that brings us over to Leviticus, which is where I want to spend a little more time. Actually, a verse here in Exodus 40, verse 34. Actually, I'll come back later to this. We're actually almost at the end of going through Leviticus as a family. And it brought out again how all these offerings, all these sacrifices, they're at the foot of Mount Sinai. They were just done building the tabernacle that God wanted to dwell with his people. So they built this place for him to dwell in. But God had instructions for them. And if we'll go through some of Leviticus, but I hope to stir enough that you go home and read Leviticus yourself. It's not a boring book. It's very interesting to observe, because I went through and counted how many times it comes forth that the Lord spake unto Moses. And when you realize that the book of Leviticus is actually God speaking to us, to the children of Israel, and God spoke unto Moses. I counted 34 times, and it might be I missed some, but I counted 34 times through the chapter of Leviticus there, or the book, that God spoke unto Moses, and then he gives how you should offer this, how you should sacrifice this, and what the people should do here. So God would share with Moses. Moses would share with Aaron and his sons and all the people. So they knew, every one of them knew these clear instructions, and here's where we gather a lot, that God is a God of order and has very detailed instructions for his people. But it also made me thankful that Jesus came as a sacrifice for us. Without that, we would still need to be doing this. And if I could paint a picture in your mind, if I would have one of our lambs up here and we would do a sacrifice today, and then we would think of every time in this last week that we said sorry to one another or did something that we shouldn't have done that. And we would have had to go out to a flock of sheep or goats or cows, and we would have to pick one. God is order, not just anyone. We'd have to pick one without blemish. We'd have to pick one that is clean. It has to be in the first year. Often it was in the first year of not on the milk anymore, so it was weaned, but it needed to be just the right one, without blemish. Bring it unto the door of the tabernacle. And then Moses was instructed, and Aaron and his sons, the priests, were instructed how to do this. And if we would think of every time that we apologized, every time we were thankful, and we brought a thank offering, and we would do that for 1 week, we would say, really? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of killing. Our lambs would be gone in a hurry. Every time we're thankful that we pray to God and we say, thank you, God, for we realize how little we can do and you take care of us. And we would need to go and get a lamb or a dove and sacrifice it. So I'd like to look at some of those sacrifices. If we read in the first chapter of Leviticus, and the Lord called unto Moses and spake unto him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Let's remember, God was in the tabernacle that they were just done building right there by Mount Sinai. And God said, speak unto the children of Israel and say unto them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. If his offering be a burnt offering, burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own voluntary will. So he was thankful for something. He shall voluntarily give it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And he shall put his hand. Here again, he had instruction. He shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering. Oftentimes, the priests were supposed to come, bring it to the priest, and then put their hand on its head and slay it. And it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord. And the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar. Here again, it was an order how they should sprinkle the blood. That is, by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And remember, God was in the tabernacle, so they brought it to the door outside of where God was right in there, observing and watching if they were obedient. And then it gives, and he shall flay the burnt offering. It gives every detail, how they should do it, how many pieces, and what they should do with each piece. And the sons of Aaron, the priests, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire, and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Every detail. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water, and the priests shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. We could go on and on, but I desire that you go read it for yourself and read all these details and observe what God is actually asking them to do. He spake to Moses. This is a book that God's own words were spoken to the children of Israel. Jesus wasn't here yet, but they needed to do all these things. I looked up how many times the word singular offering comes forth in the book of Leviticus. 239 times. Just offering, not offerings or sacrifices. Just offering alone. Sacrifice in singular, 40 times. So if we think of the willingness that God was looking for in his children, that you're willing to give, you're willing to go out and find one without blemish, bring it to me, sacrifice it. And if you caught that one verse where it says, for a sweet savor to God. And God still loves that sweet savor. But he has a plan for us. And he desires that we do it his way. And we also get the picture that God still cares as much if we sin today. It's just a different way to bring it to him, to say sorry. But he's still, by the end of Leviticus, I was like, well, this is very clear that God is still just as serious about all these sins. If a daughter was given to whoredom, it was to be burned. And they did. Or if a son was rebellious, they brought him and laid their hands on his head and stoned him. That's how serious it was. And let's remember, that same Lord is still watching us today. And he still has that order for us. If there's rebellion, if there's sin in the camp. Because God is holy. And that's another thing that stood out. It's because he is holy. That's why he has all these instructions for his children. Way back here in for the children of Israel. And holy is meaning set apart. It's something special. It's something that has actually prepared and is clean and is pure. There's no blemish. Set apart for God. Pure. And God is that life. He is that goodness. He is that purity. Two of those ways that they offered was for thank offerings. But then three of those were if they did sin. And if you go through, you can find all the different ones, depending on what you did or depending on what you touched. If you touched a dead animal, you had to come to the priest and be clean. That doesn't mean that you are cut off from the people, but there was a way that you had to clean yourself and be unclean until even, a lot of the times it said. And then you could come before the Lord. But don't come before the Lord with, if you know you touched something that was unclean and you come before the Lord with that, he will cut you off. Animals had to die for the sins of the people. Today, Jesus died for us. Jesus came to be that unspotted, without blemish, and gave himself for us. We could look at all the feasts that God spake unto Moses in one of those 34 times that God spoke to Moses. Keep these feasts. Keep the Passover. Unleavened bread. The first fruits. Give them to me. Weeks of Pentecost, of Feasts of Trumpets, and the Day of Atonement, which is a very clear picture of what Jesus came to do. two goats. In the Day of Atonement, once a year they were to bring two goats, pick two goats that were without blemish. The one would go free. No, the one they would offer for a sweet savor to God. The other, the priest would pray, put his hands on the goat, and would basically pray that the sins of the people would be put on this goat and then left loose out in the wilderness for the sins of the people. And Jesus did that for us today. And if you look at the order and the qualifications for the priests, there was, the priests had the highest order of purity and holiness, and their garments needed to be just so and clean, without defilement. Very, very strict orders for the priests. And I had to think, fathers, young men, we are called today to be those priests for God. It was a challenge to me. The highest qualifications were for the priests. Turn over to Leviticus 9. Starting in verse 1. And it came to pass on the eighth day that Moses called Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel. And he said unto Aaron, take thee a young calf for a sin offering, and a ram for a burnt offering without blemish, and offer them before the Lord. And unto the children of Israel, thou shalt speak, saying, take ye a kid of the goats for a sin offering, and a calf and a lamb, both of the first year, without blemish for a burnt offering. Also a bullock and a ram for peace offerings. So here you see how many different types of offerings that he's asking them. To sacrifice before the Lord, and a meat offering mingled with oil for today. And he gives the reason why he wanted them to do that. Today the Lord will appear unto you. And they brought that which Moses commanded before the tabernacle of the congregation. And all the congregation drew near and stood before the Lord. And Moses said, this is the thing which the Lord commanded that ye should do, and the glory of the Lord shall appear unto you. That's the beautiful picture, that if you do the order of God, the glory of the Lord will be with you. God will give you rest. He will give you peace. There will be excitement. There will be burning in your soul. But if you look in the first couple verses in chapter 10, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, so they were priests, took either of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire. The reason it was strange fire is because they were not allowed to do it unless Moses instructs them to. So I don't know that they feel, well, we should be able to do it too. We know how to do it now. And they went and did it. But they it says they offered strange fire before the Lord, which he commanded them not. So he had told them not to do it. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. That shows me that God is still very serious about sin, rebellion, disobedience. Then Moses said unto Aaron, This is it that the Lord spake, saying, I will be sanctified in them that come nigh me, and before all the people I will be glorified. And Aaron held his peace. So here Aaron lost two of his sons, but Moses brought him back to, it's because God We're doing what God wants us to do. And I'm thankful today if you think, who of you, David and John and the elders here, would be very busy men if we would be doing all those offerings. They would hear from God. They would tell us what to do. Now you do this. Now you bring this. So thank God for the promise of Jesus and how he did come. And today, we have the beauty of surrendering, not because God doesn't expect less of us than he did of the children of Israel, but because he provided a better way. If we read in Hebrews, he instructs a lot of that. In Leviticus 26, verse 1, ye shall make you no idols, nor graven image, neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall ye set up any image of stone in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. Ye shall keep my Sabbath and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. If ye walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then I will give you rain in due season, and the land shall yield her increase, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit. A lot of blessing if you read on down there. How God, if you do this, I will bless you with these physical things and your enemies. In verse 7, and ye shall chase your enemies, and they shall fall before you by the sword, and five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. So God is saying, if I am with you, you will be able to, in the New Testament it would say, you'll be able to move mountains. God is who he said he is. God will be who he said he will be. And little things are not little things to God. I would like to turn back to Exodus. The last chapter of Exodus 40, verse 34. In remembering that the tabernacle was, they had built the tabernacle, God was in the holy place, and they came to the door. Then a cloud covered the tent of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation because the cloud abode thereon, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. And when the cloud was taken up from over the tabernacle, the children of Israel went onward in all their journeys. But if the cloud were not taken up, then they journeyed not till the day that it was taken up. For the cloud of the Lord was upon the tabernacle by day, and fire was on it by night, in the sight of all the house of Israel. So there was bright enough fire that all those people could see it throughout all their journeys. But in remembering there in verse 35, and Moses was not able to enter into the tent of the congregation. If you turn to Numbers chapter 1, which is skipping Leviticus. So here it was right before Leviticus, and then God instructed on how they should offer and all those instructions that God had given them. And if we read in Numbers 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle of the congregation, on the first day of the second month, in the second year, after they were come out of the land of Egypt, saying, did you catch that? And the Lord spake unto Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, in the tabernacle. Now he was able to enter into the tabernacle. But nowhere in Leviticus I could find that Moses actually went in. But God was in there and he gave the instructions. God was speaking. But now in Numbers he says Moses came in to the Lord. Into the tabernacle. Let's turn over to Matthew 5 to see the purpose that Jesus came and that he still cares and still sees the importance and that he came to fulfill. Matthew 5, verse 13, "Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Verse 17, "Think not that I am come," Jesus, "I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them," and we've heard of that already this morning, "whosoever shall do and teach them," so he instructs us to do them, but also to tell other people, you need to do it too. "The same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven." And we could look at verses why he said that, because the scribes and Pharisees said, but they did not. That's what he's saying here. Then it goes on to instruct how he actually fulfilled the law. "Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hellfire." God is still serious about sin. "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, if you come with a thank offering or a peace offering, whatever you bring to God, you want to pray to God, you want to connect with him, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar and go thy way." Don't pray first. Don't give your gift first. First be reconciled to thy brother and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly. Somebody gets upset with you. Agree with him quickly. Quickly make restitution. Do things you can to make peace. "Whilst thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou shalt be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till ye have paid the uttermost farthing, till you have paid everything. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out. Do things about it, and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell." Jesus is pleading that we deal with those things so that we don't have to. He doesn't have to say, "I never knew you. Depart from me. You have iniquity. It has been said, whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causes her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced commits adultery. Again you have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oath. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. I'll surely do this, don't do that. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these commas of evil. And we could expound on a lot of these, but it's a blessing just to observe what Jesus really was saying here. Ye have heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. If you hurt my eye, I may hurt yours. You find that in Leviticus and through the books of Moses. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have you? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do you more than others? Do not even the publicans so? But be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. If we observe these things and pray to God that he would help us, he's willing to help us do these things. But it takes his power. It takes his way in our life to actually accomplish those things. Because by our own strength, we will not be able to do it. And I had to think of the verse in Psalm 119, thy word have I hid in my heart. Because of what? That I might not sin against thee. This word actually saves us. It can protect us. It can save us from many, many things. I actually talked to a brother last night that said he just had to think of he was lacking in his Bible reading after he was converted. And he can see that if he would have read more, God would have protected him. Because he said, if you read it clearly, it says, if somebody does fornication and or does evil things like that, he lacketh understanding. He found a verse that says he lacketh understanding. And if he would have read more, he would have understood that. And I was like, amen. That's how God will guide you if we seek him. And he desires to dwell in us, in every one of us, no one excluded. But with thinking about his word that will guide us, it's a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. Last night, my wife and I had a discussion on numbering our days. And we were curious how many days that we have lived. And I calculated this morning, and I'm right now at, I didn't do the exact number where in leap year or not leap year and do the exact, but I'm right at 13,600 days that I have lived. So if you take my thoughts went, if I take half of those days and memorize one Bible verse, I would have 6,800 Bible verses that I could recite to you. If I would have taken half of my days and memorized one verse. But I look at it often and say, well, I just don't get it done, or I should memorize more. One verse every other day of our life adds up. So I was inspired when Simon was helping us to try to grasp this song that we were singing. It excited me that it's good to encourage each other to memorize, to memorize God's word, whether it's song or his words, because a lot of his words come forth in song. And there is hope for all of us. Let's not be discouraged. His word is clear. Let's dig in. Little story comes to my mind of God dwelling in us, his fruit coming out of us. Story that I heard just lately of a little boy that went to a park and was flying a kite. And he had a fish string attached to the kite, but the kite was so high he couldn't see it. People were walking by and didn't notice what he was doing. Till one person stopped and said, what are you doing? He said, I'm flying a kite. But most people that went by didn't even see the string. But when they stopped closely and looked, he had a string. And he asked him, what are you doing? Well, I'm flying a kite. He looked, couldn't find anything. How do you know you're flying a kite? Because I feel it. Hold it once, and he gave him the string. And he could feel it tugging. And isn't that, if the life of Jesus is in us, we can feel it. We know that there's power, there's victory over sin. And we become more pure because there's life. We're set apart for God. We're honest with where we are. And God wants to take our story on and complete it. In him. In closing, I will turn to Hebrews 10. Verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance, not just part, but full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Jesus has a plan. He came for these things to happen, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. And as we prepare for tonight, may we desire to draw closer to God. And then we will draw nigh to each other. Because his promise is, draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. And that will bring the saints closer together. May the Lord bless you.